He's not that old. He looks very young on TV, but he has been in the business for a long time. Jeremiah Jensen from KSL. How you doing, Jeremiah?
I'm good, and I'm a lot older than you guys think.
No, no, you're still young, vibrant, and virile. Don't hate on yourself, brother.
I'll take that.
Yeah, you look great on the tube last night. I liked your special on I believe it was last night. Was it two nights ago? It was last night, right?
Monday night, the cost of attendance stuff.
Monday night, cost of attendance. I thought you did a great job. You went over to Brighton and interviewed four or five young athletes that are getting scholarships galore. I wanted to get your thoughts on how this cost of attendance is going to affect BYU and their recruiting.
You know, as far as talking to some of these guys, it's really not a big issue to them, to be honest. And I don't know how you guys. I'm actually interested in what you guys think as former athletes. How much does that $90 to $100 a month you might get versus from going to BYU versus one of these schools that's in the $2,500 to $3,500 range? How much of an impact does that really make on your ultimate college decision? What's the most important thing to you? I think every kid's different. I think there may be some kids that maybe are low income, that maybe that does matter to them. But for the most part, these kids I talk to, there's things much more important than that extra $80 or $90 a month or whatever it might be that's going to get them to make that college decision. Now, if it comes down to a close thing where it's one way or the other, maybe that's enough to squeak some guy one way or the other. But for BYU, I think it's vital, though, for them to be competitive and to have a higher number than everybody else because of their current situation. You can't use this in negative recruiting. You can't say, well, BYU is not a P5 because they're paying money that's in the top 10%. So they're paying P5 money. So, I think that really helps BYU. I think BYU had to do this to remain competitive when it comes to recruiting. I think it would have hurt them a lot more than it really is helping them, to be honest.
I thought it was an extra $200 or $300.
Well, it just depends on which school you're competing against.
USC, USC is $1,500. I mean, that was the most stunning one to me. Boston College was the lowest at $1,500. I think USC is actually $1,700, but I have to get the numbers up.
So, let's take USC, for instance. So USC pays $1,500 a year annually, BYU at $4,500 a year. So one of the athletes that BYU and USC went after, Fred Warner, BYU ended up getting him. But let's take a Damian Mama.
Yeah.
So he ended up choosing USC. Would an extra $3,000 a year help sway Damian? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, everybody's going to be different, and every single family is going to be different. Now, if money is an issue and USC can't give him that money, and an extra $3,000 can go to like the family too, not necessarily the athlete, and he can send some of that money home. You never know. You don't know what that impact is going to have on a recruit. But I think here in the state of Utah, you went and talked to these Brighton athletes. All of them, it seemed like they're like, oh yeah, that's kind of nice. I'd like some extra money, but ultimately that's not the end all be all as to where I'm going to be going for the next 4, 5, 6 years of my life.
Exactly. Would probably the top recruit of the 2017 class in Utah is going to be Sione Haimuli-Lunn. He was starting at Brighton as a freshman. He's going to be a big-time player this year as a junior. He's got Stanford, BYU, Utah. His list is growing. He's up to 10 offers already. It's going to get even bigger once he plays his junior year. He was the one guy that said, that's really nice. And he's a guy that BYU is really high on his list. I talked to him about BYU, and he lit up a little bit. And he said, yeah, I saw that number. I was like, oh, yeah, that's great. Because he's very interested in BYU. But he also made the point that that's not the most important thing to him. The money's nice. It's great, and it's an added factor. But you know what? He's also weighing a Stanford education with his decision and playing in the Pac-12 and all these things. There's so many more things that come into this for a lot of these guys, especially if these guys come from families that are doing okay, that aren't hurting for money. Then that's really going to be the biggest factor in this is what is that student athlete's income situation with his family or what he grew up with? Where does he come from? There's going to be different circumstances for different kids. So I think you're going to be seeing this different on an individual basis. I don't know that if anyone thinks this is going to be a sweeping big deal, this is going to sway a lot of recruits, I think they're going to be really disappointed because it's not going to be that big of a factor.
You know what, though? So, you know, I don't want this to sound bad or anything mm-hmm. like that. I'm just going to put it out there and be real.
Yeah, be real. Real talk.
Being real. Real talk. I've heard that other schools, big name schools like USC, and I'm sure we all have, where kids get paid under the table, maybe not directly from the program, but from, you know, boosters and things like that. So, you know, if I'm a kid, and again, I apologize if this is coming across bad, but if I'm a kid and I'm thinking about money, if that's the biggest factor for me, I'm going to think, okay, I should go to a USC where most kids don't get caught by taking a little bit of extra money.
How do you know most kids don't get
caught?
How do you know that?
Oh, because I have friends, and I have friends that play at the school. I have friends that have been recruited by big time, you know, schools like that.
I'm not saying it doesn't happen. I'm just saying, like, not every kid on a scholarship.
You got to be a big time star to receive that. You know, the third string on the bench isn't gonna get that type of love, but at the same time, we all know what's going on. And so if I say, well, that's less likely to have at a BYU that is more straight and narrow, follows the rules, then I'm going to go to a USC or UCLA anyway because of, you know, because I can get extra money and not get cut.
It's just hard to gauge, Jeremiah, and you can agree or disagree with me, but it's hard to gauge, like, how much of that illegal stuff is really going on. Not illegal, but
it's illegal.
Well, I guess
it's illegal. Yeah,
because I mean, who are the players that are getting caught? I mean, how often are players right. getting caught? And there's really it doesn't happen a whole lot.
You know, no, it's hard to get caught.
USC. I mean, we know USC's done this in the past. All right, you know, Reggie Bush. Okay,
yeah,
it's well documented. And you know, if it's happened to him and he got caught, you know what's happened with other guys. Like you say, let's be real. This stuff's been going on for a long, long time. You know, if somebody leaves something out, sitting out, just walks away, you know, if that guy picks it up, nobody gave it to him. You know what I mean? This stuff happens. Nope. I know it happens. All of a sudden, some kid's got a lease on a car. Where did that lease come from? Well, I guess he got it from his uncle. Really?
Right.
So this stuff happens, okay? And, you know, there's a reason why some of these elite schools, USC and Oklahoma and Texas, were typically elite, teams that are at least elite in thought, not necessarily always on the field, but you know, there's certain reasons why they become who they are. Let's be honest. And that's once you've established that, and you have the amount of boosters and the money and the power, then you have the ability to sway. You know, just some kids just want to go play there because of who you are and what's your name, your brand. Brand is big. You talk to high school kids, and if Oklahoma's coming to see you, whether they're good or not, or whoever their coach is, you're going to listen, right?
Oh, yeah.
As opposed to some guy, some coach that might be even a better coach. Let's say, for instance, Matt Wells, who's a terrific head coach, comes to your house from Utah State, or you've got somebody from some other big-name school like UCLA or whatever. That coach may not be even close to as good as Matt Wells, but because of where that coach comes from and that school, that brand, you're going to listen. You're going to take stock in that, and that's going to be something that sways a lot of kids. That's just how it is. Brand is power, and that's not going to change just because you can offer a kid 80 or 90 more bucks a month.
Jeremiah Jensen from KSL on with the Sierra Cougar Sports ESPN 960. All this flip-flopping from the Big 12 got me thinking, what the heck are they thinking? What is going on? Who is leading this group of buffoons? I mean, they can't figure out anything. They don't know what they want. They don't know whether they want to have a conference championship game or and follow down that path of legislation for it, or if they just want to stay the course. You know, we talked about fear because of the five times where they were left out of the BCS championship game because an underdog beat the top dog in the conference championship game. We've talked about how they project that they are better than the ACC and that they will leapfrog an ACC team now that now that Jameis Winston isn't in the ACC. I mean, what are your thoughts on this flip-flopping? It's like Mitt Romney flip-flopping over again. I don't know. I'm playing. I'm kidding. This is Utah Valley. I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah, be careful what your audience there.
Yeah, I know.
It's a joke. I was not associated in that comment.
Brian
at
Logan
all.
Voted for Mitt, too. No, he might have been Brock. Did you vote for Brock, Mitt? Or, you know, what? Brian?
No idea.
Continue. Sorry, Jeremiah. Go ahead.
I'm a little confused. Am I on, like, news talk something?
No, man. Go ahead, man. Sorry.
Anyway,
this is what happened on this show.
Big 12. Big 12.
You want me to weigh in on the 2000? No, I can do that.
It doesn't matter. Big 12.
So Ben already apologized earlier.
I'll stick to the Big 12. The Big 12. I think I can talk more about that. No one wants to hear me talk about politics. But, well, yeah, this is – why should we be surprised by this? I mean, this is how the Big 12 has been doing things for the last decade, right? And this is who they are and what they do. But ultimately, they have always just wanted to keep things to themselves, right? There's a reason why they only have 10 members in a conference that's called the Big 12. They're trying to keep as much money to themselves, and specifically – Texas is trying to keep as much money to themselves and as much power, and they run that league. Let's be honest. That's why everything happened the way it did when the Big 12 finally came to be the way we know it is now. So this is not surprising. They do not want, and they're also very stubborn and very set in their ways, and they're very arrogant. This whole league is. It's just, we know that. And following this realignment, that's been absolutely proven over and over again with that conference. They don't necessarily do things that make sense, but they do things that they feel enables them to keep their power and their money to themselves. And so this is just another case where they're just being completely arrogant about what happened. I think a clear message was sent by the College Playoff Committee last year about the Big 12 in their current state. But, you know, 6 months later, they're not going to heed that message, and they're going to continue to go, they're going to have the same problem again next year when they don't have that extra game and they have the same situation where maybe they got two champions again. I mean, it's just they're not going to budge in any way if they don't have to. And that's what we're seeing right now. They let the PR backlash of what happened with the college football playoff with TCU and Baylor, you know, die down a little bit. And then a few months later, everyone's changed their mind. They're back to their old ways where how do we keep as much money to ourselves? How can we not invite somebody? That's what they're trying to do here. How do we keep from not expanding instead of trying to think of what they're going to do? They're not being progressive at all. It's all about what can we do to stay the way they are? What can we do to not have to do this instead of asking what can we do to do this? And that's what you have with this conference right now. And that's the current state. And they're going to continue to have these issues and they're going to continue to have these frustrations. But ultimately, as long as they're keeping their money and their power, they're fine with it.
Have you looked at the non-conference scheduling of the Big 12? Because I think that definitely hurt them.
Absolutely.
In my opinion, I think that hurt them more so than not having a conference championship game last year, just because they had a bunch of tiddlywinks. I don't even know what tiddlywinks is, but it just sounds like a wuss on their schedule. But
that sounds like a coach and I.
Yeah. Would you want to go out there and play a bunch of tiddlywinks? Huh? What the hell is that? You don't even know what a tiddlywink is.
Oh my God.
No, I'm dead serious. Like, I think you're looking at the teams that actually did schedule well. Oklahoma and Texas are the only teams that have scheduled anybody in their non-conference schedule. So if Texas or Oklahoma wins the Big 12 in the round robin format, where there's one true champion or one or two true co-champions, then that's the only way they're really going to get into the college football playoff, in my opinion.
No, I agree with you. I think that was kind of a – you're absolutely right on that. The non-conference schedules of Baylor, and I'll even throw TCU in there, just were not comparable to the other teams that were in the mix. And they didn't have Ohio State beat a ranked Wisconsin team in the Big Ten championship. What was the score, 50-something to nothing? So, I mean, they didn't have that kind of a win at the end of the season, combined with the fact that their non-conference schedule was weak. So, you know, you're right. If Texas and Oklahoma would have won the games that they had a chance to win, then they probably would have been in the mix. But you know what? They didn't. They weren't good enough. And I think that says a lot about that league last year. It just wasn't quite good enough, and that's why they fell short. And ultimately, we saw that Ohio State was the right choice. They are the national champions, and they earned it. So I don't really know how you can argue with the results of the college football playoff and the way it panned out, because the team that belonged there was Ohio State and they won the whole thing. And I think they were more deserving. So yeah, that conference and some of those teams need to look at their non-conference scheduling and improve it. But then again, you know, somebody like Texas, you know, they scheduled BYU and Oklahoma schedules these other teams that they can't beat. Then you find out just how good that conference is. And I think that's exactly what happened last year.
Jeremiah Jensen from KSL on with us here, Cougar Sports, ESPN 960. In other news, we've also broke down the NFL draft and why BYU has struggled to get to develop NFL talent that gets drafted. Three out of the last 5 years, etc. Lavelle Edwards stated that, you know, he never viewed it as his job to develop NFL players. He just tried to find the best players, recruit them, and develop them while at BYU. And his resume looks better than Bronco Mendenhall's. Why do you think that? What's your theory behind that?
To be blunt, I think he recruited and had better players. I think, and that's proven out. You know, with the years, as the years have gone by, the teams that Lavelle had that were elite, they had a lot of NFL talent because they had great players. And now, to look at the Bronco era, to say that, you know, I don't know. It's a very interesting topic, but I think you have to be real about the thing. And you have to say, okay, you know, are you developing NFL? Why aren't you developing NFL talent? It's either because your talent's not as good or your player development's not as good. Which one needs to improve? Or do you not care? I mean, are you willing to admit that that's not something that's important to you? We're about something different. So I don't know. I mean, a lot of times in the past, Bronco has really been very open about the fact that he didn't care if kids, you know, got drafted, and he had pointed out that he brought up that stat about how many players have their lives ruined because they played in the NFL, and his attitude towards it always hasn't been positive. I think it changed a little bit with his experience with Ziggy, and he saw how much this experience could be positive, so I think it opened him up to a little bit, but he hasn't always been, it's just has not been a priority to him to develop NFL players, and a lot of these kids have gone, but recently that you guys know, and it's been a problem, so how much of a priority is it? I think that's an important thing to ask, and how good of a talent are you bringing to the program? And that's what you have to evaluate with this situation. How concerning is it for BYU to not be developing NFL players? I think it points to their record. I think you look at their record versus how much NFL talent they're producing, I think that's probably about right.
You know, to me, it's something that's interesting is looking in the past, you know, 10 years since Coach Mendenhall has been the head coach. And I think that there's more players getting opportunities now than there was before. Obviously, there's guys that were getting drafted back then, but I would really like to see a stat behind if there is one or two players drafted, but how many free agents, right? How many guys signed contracts, and then how many of those guys ended up sticking on rosters? And I think we're actually I think this may be a positive. I'm just gonna say it, and I think the reason why is because more guys are getting an opportunity, but I think this is the beginning stage. First, you have some guys getting opportunities. Then you have a lot of guys getting opportunities, and then you start getting guys drafted, and then so on and so forth. You start building that relationship with that and that pipeline. I mean, do you think that this is a more of a positive spin with more free agents, even though there's less draft picks?
I think there was a positive this year. I think what was there, 9? Guys yep. signed free agent deals or mini camp invites. That's pretty impressive. You know, BYU didn't get anybody drafted, but I think if you look at the recent, Kyle Van Noy and Ziggy Ansah being drafted, and you know Ziggy having some success, has opened scouts' eyes to BYU again. Because to be honest with you guys, scouts weren't high on BYU players for a long time. I mean, you know how talented Austin Colley was and Dennis Pitta. They're fourth round draft picks.
Right.
When those guys actually were healthy and playing in the league, they played like first-round draft picks because they were that talented. But because of BYU stigma among NFL scouts, it dropped their stock. And the missionary thing and the age thing, that all plays into it as well. So scouts have, for a while, cooled on BYU talent and players. I think that's slowly changing. And now it didn't have an impact in the draft. I thought there was guys like Alani Fua and I'll even throw out Jordan Lester that I think should have been drafted. That were talented enough to be drafted in the late rounds and weren't, but they're at least getting that opportunity. And I think you're going to see a lot more guys get that opportunity. Once these guys start getting in there and actually making some noise in the league, I think that's what's going to have to happen. And once that happens, then it's kind of a snowball. I mean, I'll take Utah for an example. And I know this is a sensitive topic for BYU fans, giving Utah this kind of credit, but you got to give them credit. They've produced a lot of NFL players, and now Utah has a reputation for developing NFL talent, and scouts like Utah players, and especially at certain positions because they have been developed and coached and taught properly, and they're ready and prepared to go to the NFL. Give Utah credit. They've established that reputation among NFL scouts and GM. Now that's something BYU has to do, and now I think Coach Mendenhall has been more open to scouts coming to practices, and they've done a great job now with their pro day. I think they've improved a lot of things there, and I agree with you. In the next 3 or 4 years, once one of these guys hits big and does something, and really impresses in the NFL, maybe it's already Ziggy or maybe Kyle Van Noy, or maybe one of these undrafted free agents do it, then you'll start seeing that change.
Jeremiah Jensen from KSL on with us here, Cougar Sports, ESPN 960. Jeremiah, anything that you're working on that you can tease us?
Yeah, I'm doing a story with Kenneth Scott, who has a talent off the field that's pretty impressive. He's a pretty good rapper, so he's going to be performing for us this week on Sports Beat Sunday.
Nice.
We've got a lot of things in the mix, so it's a busy weekend. You got high school sports, spring sports kicking up. We've got some stuff going on there, and it's kind of the slow time of year, though. If you're a football fan or a basketball fan, there's not a lot going on, but the sport, there's always something. So we've got some good stuff coming up this weekend. You can see on Sports Beat Sunday and every night.
There's actually a really good rapper down in Provo you need to check out. His nickname's White Chocolate.
Oh, really?
Also a very good dancer. He played football at Oregon State. I heard why he got his nickname White Chocolate, because he was a phenomenal rapper. That's just a little slow hint. I'm just saying.
I got to check him out.
Yeah. No, he's stupendous. Can you imagine Bronco Mendenhall rapping? What would Bronco Mendenhall rap? Could we create someone out there that's really good with, like...
We make this happen.
You know what I mean? What are they called? Like the music videos where someone's talking. What is it, Jeremy? Mashup? Is that what they're called?
Oh, yeah. Mashup. Yep. There you go. Yeah.
I don't know.
We need a mashup or an auto-tune of Bronco
Mendenhall. Yeah, auto-tune.
Rapping.
Auto-tune Bronco Mendenhall. Why hasn't there been an auto-tune for Bronco Mendenhall yet?
I don't know. Somebody needs to make this happen. There's a lot of creative BYU fans. I know that. So somebody needs to get on this.
I still remember I was down at the celebration where Manasseh Tonga, Ray Fanga, Reno Mahe, they were celebrating their graduation. And... Fooey brought up the scout team song, which is great, but there was a better song out there that was concocted by some BYU fans, and it was To My Sharona, but it was Vaka Puna. You haven't heard this one, have you?
No, I need to hear it.
I've been trying to find it. I can't find it anywhere. So if you are listening to the show, and you are the person that created the Vaka Puna song, I need that, and we need to be able to play it on our airwaves. We need that. All right.
Yeah, the world needs it.
The world needs it. Yeah.
You got issues, man.
What? How would I have issues?
I'm just gonna pray for you. That's all.
What?
I started.
You've never heard of the
pray.
Jeremiah knows about the Mormon rap, right? Or the Ty Heisman?
Oh yeah, yeah. I know all about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, that's what we do here in Provo. We have corny songs that we play.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that either.
I didn't say that.
What a flashback to the Ty Detmer song. That's man.
Brian's very judgmental. Did you notice that?
I just pray.
All right, Jeremiah. That's all
you can do, Brian. That's all you can do. Just pray.
Just to make it today. Jeremiah, appreciate you coming on with us. We look forward to doing it again. Thanks for your insight.